shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Welcome to this special edition of Shooting from the Lip, where we're going to take a look back at 2020.
Shooting from the lip.
Surely a year none of us will ever forget. And John Gaunt, around 12 months ago, things were looking oh so bright when Boris Johnson swept into power here in the UK with a landslide.
Absolutely, Craig, and Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners. Of course, it was a totally different United Kingdom. It was a United Kingdom that was totally united. As you say, he had a massive landslide, 80 seats. We thought the miserable days of May were over, that he would get Brexit done. We thought that was going to be the major political story of the year, looking forward. But clearly, COVID changed all that when it reared its very ugly head at the beginning of March. And Boris has gone from somebody who everybody did believe was the new Winston Churchill, his sunny uplands and all of that. We all shared his optimism, but it's got to be said, he ain't a wartime hero, is he, or a wartime leader. He seems to blink all the time. And the communication has been abysmal. And it is the only story in town, I guess. Well, there's a bit about Trump as well. And there's also Brexit, which is still not finished. But COVID has dominated the year.
Absolutely. Boris's handling of it, it's been a disaster, hasn't it, been John?
I think you're being too nice to him. Yes, it's been a complete and utter disaster. Right from the beginning, when he didn't seem to take it seriously, we didn't have the PPE in stock. We didn't think it was something that was going to come over here. I think it was, oh, that's just over there in China, in Taiwan, etc., South Korea. It's not going to get to our shores. And so I think he was very complacent. Then, of course, he was going around shaking everybody's hands. Do you remember that?
Oh,
it's
yes.
Outrageous to think back now. He also told us with his medical advisor that Jenny Harris, who seems to have disappeared a bit at the moment, they did a soft video on March the 12th, which was when the Cheltenham Festival was going on. They said Cheltenham could continue. You'll remember famously the Stereophonics played, I think, in Wales.
That's
to
right.
A huge crowd as well. And the big Liverpool football game happened as well. And they said, no, masks aren't. She said, actually, masks are not necessary. As I say, Boris was shaking everybody's hands. He should have cancelled the Cheltenham Festival. He should have cancelled the Gold Cup, the football, the Stereophonics and everything else. And he should have acted then. But I think the one thing, it's become a cliche. He dithered and he delayed. And look where we are now. And in the end, you know, people say, oh, you're being a bit hard on Boris. But he's the PM. And the book has to stop with the leader, doesn't it?
It does. And do you remember also we had Eat Out to Spread It All About, another UK government idea that's come back to bite us on the bottom.
Yeah, but let's be careful about it. I do like your expressions better than my one. My one was Eat Out to Help Out with a side dish of COVID-19. But because clearly, with hindsight, it didn't work. However, at the time, Craig, and I think you've got to be careful here, and I've got to be careful, everybody thought that Dishy Rishi's idea was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was a way to get the economy going again, especially hospitality. The hospitality people worked their off to get COVID secure restaurants and pubs, and I think they did a brilliant job. And I think as the years gone on, they've been cruelly let down by the whole government. But we all thought it was a good idea. It brought in, I think, 518 million, or it cost 518 million. But the problem, of course, is once you took that lockdown off and you allow people out again, it began to spread. And also, I think the fundamental mistake in all of this is that the lockdown was too little too late. It wasn't a proper lockdown. There was too many sort of grey areas. There was it, and the second lockdown was a complete disaster. But just on that first lockdown, it wasn't harsh enough. And then you have the MSM, the newspapers, telling you ways you can get round it. And they're still playing that game now. They were almost celebrating last Saturday when he announced, again, too late, I accept. But when all those people ran away from London back to their mummies and daddies or to their homes in the country, taking with them the COVID-19, the newspapers on the first day of that were almost celebrating it. The Sun did a spread where it was how to get a pint without ordering a substantial meal. The whole Scotch egg fiasco and the way that's been dealt with by the MSM. They have got blood on their hands as well as Boris. And don't forget, we've also got to talk about the care home scandal as well, where lots and lots of old people were in a program of state euthanasia. I don't care how old you are. Nobody deserves to die of this dreadful virus if we can prevent it. But just going back to Dishi Rishi, it was, again, it was too late, and it obviously spread it again. And the problem is this mantra of we've got to keep the schools open. May I just ask why? And why the fifth or sixth largest economy in the world, why can't we make sure every kid has got it? I know I'm going to sound like Marcus Rashford, but why can't every kid have a computer so that we can do Zoom lessons at home? And if a child hasn't got one, let's the state buy them. I'm not trying to come over as some kind of Marxist here, but it just seems plain common sense. But instead, he wants to carry on wasting our money on a white elephant called HS2. Commuting's never going to happen on the scale that that's being built for. It's just not going to happen. Put decent broadband in every home in the land, every home, whether you live in a remote hill farm, I don't know, in Cumbria, or whether you live in the Highlands of Scotland or Orkney or somewhere like that. Let's get proper, superb broadband. Let's get poor kids so they level up, Boris. Let's give them computers, not flashy ones, but ones that they can do their work on. And then I would have kept the kids at school. And I certainly think now the kids should not be going back to school. Absolutely not. Either they're the hotbeds of infection, the 11 to 18-year-olds. But then I was walking in Stratford yesterday or the day before. All the kids, there's all this talk about Sage saying, we want to vaccinate them because they're the spreaders. But they're walking around Stratford-upon-Avon yesterday, admittedly in the open air mostly, but even when you go to a more crowded area, they're not wearing masks. Kids don't have to wear masks. And this goes back to what you were saying at the very beginning of your question. Sorry to ramble on, but it's basically the communication, the policies have had no clarity. And that's the problem. People don't know the rules, or they know the rules and they know how to bend the rules. The police don't want to enforce the rules. We don't know if they're rules or law. The whole thing is a complete shambles. And as I say, the book must stop with Boris Johnson.
Now, if I didn't know you, Gonti, and I just heard the last couple of minutes of what you were saying, I would almost think that you're some kind of lefty. Now, obviously you're not, but it just kind of sums up how 2020 has been. You've almost got a left-leaning Tory government, haven't you?
Well, we have. They've spent more money than Jeremy Corbyn wanted to spend. But, you know, left and right, it no longer exists, my friend. It's not existed for years and years, in my opinion. I think it's them and us. It's the establishment elite, in which I'd put into the MSM, into that category as well, versus us, the people. And what's happened, you know, whether you want to look at Kay Burley, thinking it's perfectly okay for her to go out on the pop, or whether you want to look at the Conservative MPs have done it, members of the cabinet, Tobias Elwood, or maybe you want to look at that woman from the SNP, Margaret, who got on a train, even though she's waiting for her test results, then got tested positive and went back, and she still hasn't resigned, I don't believe. There's them and there's us. And that's what's wrong, and what COVID-19 has proved, and if we could stop all these petty arguments about wearing masks and the rest of it, is that it's clearly them and us. And, you know, people have been calling me a commie and another word beginning with C and all kinds of stuff. And I think it's funny because, you know, why do you want to give kids free computers? Well, because I'm a working class lad.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for discovering books and having libraries, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I actually believe that would level up. And I believe that if we had those computers and we'd already thought ahead, those kids could all be taught at home. And certainly university students, I think they've got a real gripe because they were sent back. And that was just so stupid. Then all the lessons have been on Zoom. They've been virtually under house arrest. They could have stayed at home with mummy making them chicken soup, and they could have still done those lectures. They could have still moved forward in their degree. And I'm saying it now, and I'm calling it now, university next term needs to be virtual. No student should go back to their university town. They should stay at home. All lectures should be on Zoom or on some other electronic form. And I would say the same with schools. And I called it again 2 days ago. I said none of the schools should reopen. I agree with the mass testing now and the vaccination of school kids, but we should bring the army in. And then people go mad when I say this, that I go from being a commie to a raging fascist when I say the next bit, which is let's bring the army in. Let's have field hospitals set up in city centres. Let's get each school in turn to go in. Every kid should get the jab. Once all that's done and all the teachers are vaccinated, then we can think about opening the schools again, and not until then. I don't think schools should open. And I see yesterday Boris avoided the question completely. Nobody's going to be going back to school in January. Let's just wake up, smell the coffee. It is what it is, and let's get our society safe. And as I say, it isn't about left or right. That's why Keir Starmer has come over as a complete opportunist. Mm. He hasn't got a clue himself, and God help us if they'd been in power. And when people say, let's get rid of Boris, who are you going to replace him with? And so that's the mess we're in. This is where the establishment have taken us, the establishment elite. And those of us who think we talk for the people, we're getting divided because there's all these arguments about it's a hoax, it's this, it's that, don't wear a mask, I ain't having a vaccination, I ain't pumping that poison into me. Oh, okay then, how are we going to get out of this COVID-19 cul-de-sac that we're in? And the answer is they haven't got an answer. We, the people, need to come together and demand of our leaders better leadership, clearer policies, and a clear route map out of it.
Now, looking at the UK government over the past year, have they actually managed to get anything right at all?
No, I can't think of anything.
Me neither.
I think the whole thing. Well, look at Brexit. I mean, why are we still talking about that 4.5 years after the biggest democratic exercise in this great nation's history? Whether you like it or not, we voted out. We should, and I know we're technically out, but we should be fully out. And then people, I think it's disgraceful the way people are talking about the fishermen. Oh, it's only 2% of gross domestic product. It's a nonsense argument. Well, no, it's not. Because if you go to those old fishing towns that were destroyed before, Hull, Fraserburgh, people, places like that, you've got massive smack and crack drug problems in those areas. We need our fish. It is our fish, without a shadow of a doubt. And they're just playing us. They don't want us to leave. And Boris should have been harder on this before COVID. Well, to be fair, he only had 2 months because he'd only just got in power. I just don't understand. And there's still now, there's people now saying, I think Nicola Sturgeon said it, didn't she? Why don't we have an extension whilst COVID's going on? No, we ain't having an extension, Nicola. We voted out. And don't give me this rubbish. Scotland didn't vote out. We're meant to be the United Kingdom. So, no, I don't think they've got anything right, mate. I think it's a complete and utter disaster. But the most depressing thing is nobody else would have done it any better. That it's a failure of the establishment elite. That's what we're witnessing at the moment.
Okay, we'll take a quick break and then we're going to move on to America, Trump and Biden. We'll be talking about woke culture and BLM right here on Shooting from the Lip on Radio Sputnik.
Shooting from the Lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, Shooting from the Lip.
So we hope you're having a lovely festive period and staying safe. John Gaunt, what a year it's been, 2020. And what about that US election? Is it true that Trump actually did really, really well, despite having the whole of the mainstream media across the world against him?
Well, don't forget he got 73 million votes, didn't he? The fact is, again, the beginning of this year, with the economy booming, it looked like he was a shoo-in for another 4 years and Sleepy Joe wouldn't have a chance. Then again, COVID-19 came along. And I think we've got to accept, even if we're Trump supporters, and I am, that he mishandled it completely. However, he has had, as you've rightly just said, the whole of the Democratic Party against him, the whole of the mainstream media in the United States of America, and let's be frank, also many members of the Republican Party against him. And it's, you know, he's moaned about the election result, but he's allowed to do that, isn't he? Especially when there are so many questions. And I think there's still a lot of questions not answered. But somehow the MSM in the United States think this is outrageous. So do the Democrats. They seem to have forgotten what happened in 2016 when he was elected. They immediately said it was the Russians what won it. And he had those Russian slurs against him for the whole four years, all of which were proved to be completely and utter fake news. He won that election. Now, this election, you've got to say the whole postal voting system is ludicrous in the States, as it is increasingly becoming so in this country as well. The only people who should be able to have a postal vote, and I'd say this even in a pandemic, the only people who should have a postal vote are those who are actually infirm, can't actually physically get to a voting booth, or those people who are serving in the armed forces. The postal vote was massive. And clearly, Trump didn't realise that, and he didn't understand that he should have got his people going on the same level with the postal votes. Although, right from the beginning, to be fair to Donald Trump, he said he didn't trust that particular system. And there are questions over the machines, but the whole way it was completely dismissed. I just think it was wrong. I think he should have had more of his time in court. However, now it's looking increasingly likely that he just has to accept it. Biden is going to be the next president. I think basically Trump has to suck it up and come back in 4 years' time if he wants to. But then, of course, he'll be 78 then. But then Biden's 78 now. The only thing I know that's certain, Biden will not serve the whole four terms. The man has clearly got some dementia problems at the moment. Do you really want a man like that with his finger on the nuclear buttons? Because I don't. And also, I don't want a man who's, you know, what he's going to do, straight back into the Paris Accord on day one. He also wants to be mates again with Iran. I don't think that's a good idea as well. And he's pushing the narrative, of course, that Russia are still the baddies. There's a red under every bed, just like the mainstream media over here are again now. I think the real threat is China. And you know, I'll call it. I think it's China. That's who we need to keep an eye on. That's who we need to be talking to. And again, that Russian thing, you know, the Russians come up with a vaccine and immediately the BBC says it's dreadful and it won't work. And oh, they're doing it too soon. About a week later, they change their position when we start to get near a vaccine. Why can't we just work together? Why can't we just work together? Somebody said to me the other day, would you take the Russian vaccine if you were offered it? Well, yes, I would. Just like I'd take the one that's been developed in America, just like I'd take the one that we're developing. It's just time to bring down those barriers. It just seems stupid to me. But I think, yeah, Trump, was he cheated out of it? It doesn't smell right, does it, Craig? It just still doesn't smell right. And the thing you've got to remember, Trump may be leaving the White House, but Trumpism is not leaving America. He put a pride back in America. 73 million people are not going to forget what happened in the election. And I think that makes America a dodgy place at the moment. I don't like the way that it's turning out to be black versus white and militias and the rest of it. We don't need a civil war in the United States, but their voting system definitely needs cleaning up. And, you know, there's a China influence there as well, if you believe what Trump and some senators are saying.
Do you think the history books will be kind to Donald Trump?
I think so, yeah. I think they'll be more objective than the mainstream media has been and the biased broadcasting corporations. Yes, I think it will be, because undoubtedly he brought those jobs. He gave more opportunity to young black men and women to get back into education. All this nonsense about deportations on the Mexico border, well, Obama started that and he did many, many more than Trump. Remember, there was no war whilst Trump was in power. In fact, he was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Remember what he did in North Korea. Remember what he's done. I mean, historically, what he's achieved with Israel and the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, etc., the visit to Saudi Arabia. These things are massive, positive steps. And he didn't take America into any wars. Unlike Obama, he did not do that. And I worry that with Biden, I mean, you know, Biden now has got John Kerry back in the fold. It's basically a kind of Obama-lite government. I do worry about the security and the safety of the world. And as I say, all this saber rattling again against Russia, I just think it's pathetic. It's not what we need. Oh, and before I forget, of course, you've got to say you've got Joe Biden's son. He's not clear yet, is he? And the way that was handled, that it wasn't talked about during the election, and they've got to get out of jail card because evidently with Hunter Biden, if there's any stories that could influence the election, you are allowed to put them on the back burner. Let me ask you a question, Craig. If that was Don Jr. With those allegations, the exact same allegations against Hunter Biden, do you think CNN would have ignored the story? Do you think the Washington Post would have ignored the story?
No chance.
No, they would not have done. It would have all been weaponized to make sure Trump didn't get elected. So I understand why he's upset. And as I say, the American people, and 73 million of them, definitely, even if they think Biden won, there must be big questions now about Biden, not just Biden's son, but Biden himself and his, how shall we say, business dealings or associated business dealings with China and with Ukraine. These questions have to be answered. And so far, they're not being answered. But then again, that's not a surprise because Joe Biden often doesn't remember the question when he's halfway through the answer to any question. I mean, I'm sorry, the man should be in a retirement home. I feel sorry for him. He's being used quite clearly. Harris will take over. And God help us if that happens.
So we've had Trump out, the UK out of Europe, but also Harry and Meghan out of the UK. Megxit. And they signed a remarkable £18 million deal with Spotify for their woke podcast. Will you be listening to it, John?
Yes, I will. I've had trouble sleeping recently, so I thought I might download it and see what it's like. I heard the trailer, 2 minutes, 51 seconds of pure utter tripe. They are the king and queen of woke. These are the people who wanted to leave the royal family because they were fed up of press intrusion and they wanted to live their lives. They've gone to California. They've got a huge deal, not just the Spotify deal, which is massive. They've also got the huge Netflix a deal where clearly they're going to sell out the royal family, our culture, our heritage and our tradition. Don't get me wrong. I like The Crown. It is a work of fiction in lots of places. And maybe there should be a disclaimer on it. However, fancy working with the company that's done that to your dad and to your late mum. Portrayed your late mum as a complete and utter bunny boiling moron and your dad as an insensitive, uncaring, sexist brute. However, the king and queen of woke have now got their podcast and the folks begin into that, Craig. As somebody who works in radio yourself, you've got to say that's not how you start a podcast in any way, shape or form. It's just naff, naff, naff. But do you know what? Loads of people will download it. That's what Spotify know. And loads of people will listen to it and will watch their woke documentaries. And they are the tip of this iceberg of wokeness, of course, which is infesting the world. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to live in a misogynistic, racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic world either. But I don't want to live in what they think the world should be, where everybody is self-censoring themselves and where you can't say anything and where great novelists and great works of art have to be destroyed because they don't fit that woke agenda, which, by the way, no one has ever voted for, Craig. It's not been in any political manifestos, has it?
No, it strikes me as a dictatorship, John, woke culture, because you can't talk about certain things and you're not even allowed to have a debate with them, are you?
Yeah, it's not just that. It is 1984. It is George Orwell, where the party decide you've broken the law. And you say, what law have I broken? Oh, this law. Well, what do you mean? I haven't heard of that law. Oh, yeah, we just imposed it. And 8 years ago, you said this. And that's what's going on. That is exactly what's going on. And it particularly happens in social media. I mean, we didn't say this about Trump. The other people he had against him, of course, was Twitter and Facebook. And I don't know. Twitter and Facebook are private companies. They can have whoever they want on their platforms. But they've warped democracy in the West. And I think, you know, something has to happen. I mean, I'm not in favor of censorship. But also, they're pushing the same woke agenda as Harry. You know, and the worst thing is, as you say, you can now be picked up for something you said 8, 9, 10 years ago. You know, if when I look back at my columns for The Sun, I'm just surprised I'm not on a charge. And it's nonsense because what I said then was right. I wouldn't necessarily phrase everything the same now, but you can't be pulled up on it if that was the culture. It's like, did you see that dopey woman who watched a bit of Only Fools and Horses? And by her own admission, she only watched about two or three minutes, and she said it was terrible and that shouldn't be allowed and all the repeats should be banned, and John O'Sullivan, who wrote it, should be dug up, basically, and crucified at the gates of the BBC. I mean, it's just nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just absolute nonsense. And then when it comes to real history, they want to rewrite history. I mean, don't get me wrong, the slaver statues, I think maybe that's a debate that's long overdue, but it should be a debate. It shouldn't be up to the mob just to pull those statues down. And that's where I think BLM, you know, are a complete and utter, well, verging on a terrorist organisation, what they've been up to.
Yeah.
The organisation, not the sentiment.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say to you, John, are people actually blind to the fact that BLM is a lefty Marxist movement and they want to defund the police? How can anybody possibly support defunding the police?
Well, the police. That's who. The police, as they're bending the knee to tie up their rainbow laces to show that they are so in tune with the lesbian and gay community, etc., etc., they'll do it. Nobody in the police should have taken a knee. And as you say, these people are not just cultural Marxists, they're out-and-out Marxists. They want to bring down the prison system. They want to defund the police. They basically want to change the whole way our society works. They've got to be stood up to. Don't get me wrong, Black Lives Matter, fine, I accept that. You know, and then it also became racist to say, well, all lives matter, don't they? And, you know, the most disenfranchised and disadvantaged sector of our society at the moment, whether you like it or not, are young white men. That's a fact. They're not achieving what they should achieve. We should confront racism wherever we see it. Never just laugh along with a joke. Never just go, oh, yeah, it's just him. Pull people up on it. But we cannot have these Marxists, these cultural Marxists in Black Lives Matter dictating the policy. And then you've got Sky News and Sky Sports. They signed up to it. And then, of course, the players took the knee. And the moment a crowd came in, I predicted this as well, the crowd booed. The crowd aren't being racist at Millwall and at West Ham and those other grounds. They just absolutely do not believe politics and sport should mix. They don't want to be preached to, and they don't want Sky telling them, and then Gary Lineker, of course, saying, well, you know, along the lines of, if you don't do it, you're a racist. No, you're not. They're just objecting to that. And you wait, if we ever get back to full football stadiums and they dare to take the knee like that, I despair what might happen. And that is, there are racists in football crowds, of course. There's racists in every area of life. Let's, you know, level up, as Boris likes to say. Let's get rid of prejudice. Let's get rid of all of that. I accept all of that. But Black Lives Matter is not the vehicle to do it in. And that's before I go on to the fact they did all these demos, are still doing these demos, and weren't wearing masks or social distancing. And by the same token, the people then who marched the following week, they were just as bad. And it's just got ridiculous. It's just J.K. Rowling being kind of, what do they call it? Not closed, censored. They don't call it that. They're cancelled.
Oh,
cancelled. This cancelled culture, yeah, has got to stop. It's just got to stop. Trigger warnings on Shakespeare plays. For God's sake, come on. Get with the modern world. Remember our culture, our traditions. They're important. And it's important to look at things in their historical context, in my opinion.
Okay, we need to leave it there. And I'll wish you a very nice Christmas and festive period, John. And we look forward to hearing more Shooting from the Lip in 2021.
Shooting from the Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.